The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 537. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. It's almost the end of July, and that means that I am going to be teaming up with my tag team partner, Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos, as we need to discuss the state of pro wrestling. And we got a lot to talk about. I would like to just throw it out there that I know it's a little bit early, a few days earlier than we normally drop an episode, but that is because of my schedule is a little bit wonky this next couple of weeks. So I wanted to definitely get the state of pro wrestling recorded because I love doing it. I really, truly do. I appreciate Gerald giving me the opportunity to be his tag team partner on the show and to talk wrestling and to give our honest opinions. And so it means a lot to me. So I don't want to mess that up. So, you know, we moved it up a couple days. Hopefully that doesn't cause too much of a hassle for you. But I'm going to go ahead and kind of keep this introduction a little bit short because we have a lot to talk about from AEW, the WWE, and all places in between. So what I'm going to do is I am going to tell you real quickly about a new sponsor to the PVD Cast. Of course, I'm talking about Courtney 614 Deals. If you need some deals on a plethora of different items, whether it's clothing, whether it's health and beauty, whether it's art, no matter what it is, I guarantee you that probably Courtney has it in her vast warehouse. You can find her on all those top reselling sites like Poshmark, eBay, whatnot, Marketplace, etc., etc. Just look for her tag, which is Courtney 614 Deals. And if you do pick something up from Courtney, just let her know that you found out about her deals from right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear myself and Gerald Glassford from the Pop Culture Cosmos talk about the state of pro wrestling.
Ding, ding, ding. And we're back with another State of Pro Wrestling right here with, of course, the PVD Cast and the Pop Culture Cosmos. Truly appreciate you joining us. Make sure you go ahead and like and subscribe. And if you're listening to us on any one number of podcast outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, what have you, please go ahead and make sure you give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. It's so important in the world of podcasting, those 5-star reviews. It is truly appreciated. And if you're one of the radio stations that still carries our show all these years, closing in on 10 years for the Pop Culture Cosmos. Actually, what is 10 years for the Pop Culture Cosmos? 10 years for the PCC Multiverse coming up. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, let me see. No, actually, 10 years next month is the Pop Culture Cosmos. Yes, we've gone 500 plus on the Pop Culture Cosmos and almost 500 on the PCC Multiverse. I'll be giving out a quiz later on. So make sure. And of course, it wouldn't be a state of pro wrestling without, of course, my good friend, my tag team partner extraordinaire. He steps into the ring with me here, the tag team podcasting champions of the world. It is, of course, my tag team partner extraordinaire. It is, of course, John Orlando. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I am excited to sit down and talk again about the state of pro wrestling because there's been a lot happening and a lot of things to cover. And I'm looking forward to it. So I'm not going to jibber jabber on. I'm going to let us get rocking and rolling, as you said.
Well, I do want to hear your opinion on a few things. I've been curious because since we last spoke on A State of Pro Wrestling, although I have released some of our pre-recorded State of Pro Wrestlings in the interim, I'm curious about your opinion on some of these title changes in both AEW and WWE in recent times. Now, the weekend that we're recording this, AEW's Redemption, which I had been calling Revolution for quite some time now, and that shows you how important it was to me because I've been calling it the wrong name for weeks now and finally realized it. So by the time you see this with me, Redemption's already taken place. I don't see it as a very monumental. It's like the penultimate episode in a season. It's like it's the setup for what's to come, for what their main event is coming up in August with All In. So that we can save for another day as far as AEW's big event at All In. This is something, I guess, this weekend with AEW we'll go ahead and talk about in a second here with AEW Redemption. Before we get into WWE, all the stuff that's going on, the Saturday night's main event, the reliance on New York Knicks, the quick title change there, I want to hear your thoughts on all that going on with the WWE, but let's go ahead and start off a little bit in a different direction with AEW. Again, the weekend that we're recording this, it is AEW Redemption. And so with that said, my friend, the main event will have Kevin Knight against newly crowned champion Kenny Omega, which is gearing itself for a Kenny Omega as far as a Will Ospreay world title match coming up at All In. No one expects Kevin Knight to win. No one expects, this is about just as maybe a stepping stone for him. This is something where, can he go ahead in a main event and knock it out of the park so you could utilize him and think about him in a future context because he is a rising star in AEW. Your thoughts on all this, starting with Kenny Omega taking away the title from MJF. I guess MJF wanted time off, but I think if you would have told him, say, hey, can you hold out to All In before you drop the title in London to Will Ospreay? I think you would have said yes. I'm still of the belief that that's the way you should go, but that they should have gone. Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega would have been great in 2019. I'm not sure how great it is in 2026.
Well, exactly. I feel like there are so many things that were done wrong with this title switch. Number one, you did it on an episode of Dynamite. You have Redemption coming up. Why should you not have booked that for there? Because then you can say, you can use the old adage, well, you always need to watch AEW because you never know what's going to happen, right? And instead, they do it on Dynamite, free TV, and why? I have no idea. Why give Kenny Omega
a big pop in ratings for that's held out for 2 weeks for them? I mean, so if they were looking for just a ratings hotshot, as they call it in wrestling vernacular, it proved with the World Cup now gone that it was maybe that part of it was good. But, again, how long do these hot shots usually last when you go ahead and hot shot the ratings, John?
Right. And here's my other thing. Like, I have nothing against doing a storyline where Kenny Omega gets one more shot, one more run for the title. All right. I have no problem with that. But you're doing it right now when you have been kind of in a lukewarm manner setting up Will Ospreay versus MJF at Wembley. I don't understand it. It makes me scratch my head. And with all due respect to Kevin Knight, you said it yourself. No one thinks he has a chance in heck of winning that title. It's so apparent. It is just, it's like, when you, as a kid, you tuned in and you were like the Ultimate Warrior against the Brooklyn Brawler. Gee, I wonder who's going to win this match. It's just, I don't know. It's ridiculous. I don't understand why they did it. If indeed MJF wanted some time off, I can't believe that he would not be smart enough to go, okay, I can wait out another 6, 7, 8 weeks and then go on my little hiatus, you know?
And I'll just say this. When I messaged you on Facebook to give you all the information, what should step into that as far as a look back, courtesy of the Facebook page, The Chronicles of Wrestling? One of Kenny Omega's most famous matches, whether you'd like to say it or not, is when he wrestled a 9-year-old girl. So, yeah, that's in Japan. Haruka, by the way, the one that one of the ones that gets Jim Cornette all up in the kerfuffle, per se. So, yes, that happened to pop up right here. So with that said, yes, Kenny Omega, who has gone on to become one of the best wrestlers of the past 15 years. You cannot deny that as far as it's concerned. But again, he is coming back to a point where, you know, from the diverticulitis and all the stuff that he had to go through, to a point where can he carry AEW at this point for a couple month run? It looks like he's going to have to, because again, it's leading into him dropping the title at Will Ospreay at All In. But at this point with Will Ospreay, his future as champion does not look as bright as it once was. When he came back from injury, he came back at the House of Fire, then all of a sudden got in with, you know, the Mod Squad, as some people like to call it, as far as an AEW. And with you know, just, I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know why, what their booking is, what their plan was, but his detour, doing a couple jobs here and there and not building that momentum instead of getting it stunted and then having him, you know, go through other stuff, other storylines and things of that nature that detract from his comeback and the buildup. I don't know. Again, where does this leave you? Again, he will become the most likely the title holder late next month when All In happens. But I just don't know where it leaves you from there.
Look, I had this thought earlier today. Does this make, as you said, Will Ospreay, does this make him less of a viable champion? I think that Will Ospreay, if he really was thinking about his legacy and his career, should have demanded, gone to Tony and say, no, Kenny Omega's great, he's fine, but we need MJF here. Because he's the only one that is going to get that heat. It's going to get the, because that's the other thing we're going to look at. You're going to split the crowd between Will and Kenny. And a lot of times, as you and I have seen, sometimes that doesn't work out so well, you know, with the crowd. So I don't know. And putting him with the Death Riders, I'm like, why would Will Ospreay hang out with the Death Riders? That's what I don't understand. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And instead of actually having a tag team match that actually would be good if it was Claudio and Moxley versus Cope and Cage, instead they're throwing in, you know, Wolfpack NWO member Pac. You know, I don't know. The booking is all over the place for this pay-per-view. And at this point, why do a pay-per-view when you are, what, 5 weeks away? You know, when we're done here, it'll be like 5 weeks away that we are waiting on All In. Just, I don't know.
It just seems very disappointing. Again, like you said, with Will Ospreay, when he returned from injury, it's the way you build up, a slow build up. Maybe have him, seeing the inevitable that there would be some people that would be out to try and foil his future, you know, with some slight diversions and whatnot. But this, like you said, with John Moxley and all that, as far as him, you know, teaming up with him going with the Death Squad here, and it really is disappointing. It's really not what we want to see as fans, I think, for AEW, because again, you want to see Will Ospreay get the title when in his most dominant fashion, to be able to go ahead and showcase him as the future of your company. And seeing him now teaming with, you know, again, the Death Riders that have been nothing but disappointments over the course of the past 2-3 years. I have no idea why that they have still continued this collective, because it just seems like it's not gone much. It's not gone anywhere. The Death Riders have become death to the ratings in many ways. So with that said, again, why you pair? Are you trying to get the Death Riders to get the rub off of Will Ospreay, or vice versa? Because it didn't seem to do so far much for both. But again, he's your main event star that's going to be taking over the world title here in a little over a month. And I just don't see a lot of momentum. Even coming out of Redemption, I don't see a lot of momentum being built up for it. And that's the problem. That there should be a whole bunch of excitement, anticipation, and momentum for Will Ospreay getting that title in London. And outside of the pop that it's going to have from the local market at that point in time, I just don't see a lot coming from it as far as Will Ospreay right now.
Oh, I agree tenfold. And in fact, I have been waiting on Jon Moxley to turn on Ospreay. And then have another feud going on that would clearly take him out of title contention, Will Ospreay, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter that we would just throw together this couple of week feud with Moxley, but that's what I anticipated. And yet we're still getting just Moxley and Ospreay. I forget, are they taking on the Young Bucks, I think?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Yeah, so the booking is puzzling, and that's the best way to say it. And we say it every particular month. We say it, that the booking just never gets better.
And the thing is, they have momentum, John. Yes. They have momentum coming off the bumps in ratings coming after the World Cup has ended. Two straight weeks of year highs, you know, some of the highest ratings that they've had this year. And you try to build on that momentum, and I'm just not sure that they're doing that. And it's you know, with some of the decisions that we've seen, again, with Darby Allin getting the world title, then taking it off MJF again, it just, you know, that traditional heel versus face, good guy versus bad, it set itself nicely that you could have had it done for All In with MJF and Ospreay. And it just seems like you've gone out of your way, if you're Tony Khan, to make sure that didn't happen. Well, it hasn't happened, and it won't happen, because you've got, of course, what you're seeing with Kenny Omega now thrown in the mix. And I feel like they've had a missed opportunity to really cut in a gap where WWE is on a creative low right now, where you could really cut into that gap a little more between number one and number two. And it just seems like, unfortunately, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, they're just going to ruin Will Ospreay, to the fact that he gets his title in London. At this point, who cares? And that's a horrible thing for me to say, because I should be excited for this guy, because I've heard nothing but great things about him, and I've seen him in Japan and all this shit. But at this point, they've watered him down to a point where, okay, he wins the title. Yay. What's next?
Absolutely, indeed. Yeah, I mean, but they've still, again, they've got a lot of bright young talent that they can still continue to develop. They also have, with the fact that there's, as of this recording, several former WWE stars that are now available to be chosen if you want to go that route. As far as it's concerned, whether you go a Kairi Sane, whether you go Zelina Vega, Aleister Black, where you go that route and grab one of those or a couple of those talents to help, invigorate your roster even more. But I understand that, you know, people are afraid of AEW acquiring all these ex-WWE talents, because it just falls into the same bad habits so many other organizations have over the course of the years. And I get that, and I understand that. So with that said, again, with what AEW has for offer, again, Christian Cage, and of course, what's going on as far as tag team glory for them, as far as those two with Adam and Cage, just trying to go ahead and continue on. How long do you think that's going to last? How long do you think that this, you know, again, ex-WWE guys are going to be still thought of as in that realm? Do you think that they go ahead and defend the titles coming up at All In, or do you think they get through Redemption get by the Death Riders and they're able to go ahead and go through and be able to defend the titles. Because again, outside of what we're seeing with Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega, whatnot, outside of the very top, they seem to be the most marketable individuals that they have right now. Adam Copeland and Christian Cage.
And that's because they have this legacy to stand on and build with. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if Pac and Claudio win the tag belts. I really wouldn't. At this point, I just feel like this match should have more importance behind it, but it's just kind of on the back burner, for lack of a better term. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, that they drop the titles and then go off on another tangent with somebody else, whether it be, you know, the Dogs or whomever, or the Bucks or whomever.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens. Again, it's AEW Redemption that happened this weekend. We'll find out as far as what the fallout is from that. And it goes into All In. John will have his thoughts on that, I'm sure. And as will I in the coming weeks, as far as if anybody will remember AEW Redemption after what's gone down. Again, I'm looking as far as something that I don't know if it needed to really happen. Mm-hmm. I think after what we saw with AEW Dynamite and their beach blast that they had a couple weeks ago, which is very monumental, I think AEW Redemption comes in for a lot of people and says, you know what, why do I want to spend my money on this? You already had a show for that you gave away for free that was probably superior than what you had right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Tenfold.
So with that said, my friend, again, we're not giving the highest ratings again to AEW. I want to give more positive views.
I do too. Look, how about we end on this? I think that the Dynamite, the Beach Blast or whatever, I thought that was a good show. I thought that was a great show. So there, we ended on a positive note with AEW.
Yes, that was a great show. You know, regardless of whether you'd like the title change or not with MJF and Kenny Omega, if you look at it objectively, you could say that was a great way to go ahead and build momentum. The problem is you threw a pay-per-view that you took away a lot from in order to go ahead and try and boost the momentum for Beach Blast. And you chose the side of getting more of a free audience for that and trying to hopefully build on that for the future and sustain the 750 to 800,000 viewers that you could try to keep with that. So if they do a month and a half from now, if they do coming off of All In, maintain for the next 5 to 6 weeks that 800,000 or 700, you know, mid sevens, high 800,000, you know, excuse me, 800,000 in that range as far as their audience, then obviously it was an investment worth making, even at the sacrifice of AEW Redemption. So we'll wait and see, John. But if it goes back into the sixes and it goes back or high fives, then obviously we see where the excitement level is at for that short period of time.
Mm-hmm. I was going to make a joke about high fives, but never mind. It would have been like a dad joke, so we don't need to go in there.
Fair enough, indeed. But if you have thoughts from AEW, you have thoughts on that, the title change, Kenny Omega having the title, should he drop the title at All In, what's happening with AEW Redemption with Kevin Knight and his elevation to a main event status as something going forward, do you think they'll handle it better than, say, what WWE has handled with Bron Breakker? You know, because I put a comparison on a rising star there to a rising star with WWE. So let me know your thoughts on AEW and where they're at. Please let me know with Pop Culture Cosmos or the PVD cast right there for you as well. Wanted to go ahead and also talk about with another very interesting change that happened earlier this month as well, John, and again in Chicago. You know, I remember the days where Vince would never allow a victory for a hometown individual in their hometown to happen. But of course, that has all changed in a new regime. I can't say I don't mind it, and I don't mind it. But with Sami Zayn earning a world title and a lot of people around the wrestling world and wrestling audience, you know, really supporting it, that a guy that, you know, maybe has a career achievement, maybe like a Mick Foley when he won his world title the first time, John, where it was just like a career achievement for all that he's put himself through and the respect that he has earned from his peers, getting him to where he got with that world title. I think a lot of people were hoping that it would last longer than 9 days, but unfortunately it didn't with what happened at Chicago. And I can't say I disagree with the title change, because obviously you're trying to build momentum for a pay-per-view and AEW, you know, as far as SummerSlam, as far as WWE SummerSlam, that has no momentum going into it ticket sales wise. So with that said, my friend, your thoughts on the title change from Sami Zayn to CM Punk?
It was too little, too late for Sami Zayn. We have said it multiple times on this show that the opportunity was a few years ago in Montreal where that should have happened. At yep. that point, that was the hottest Sami Zayn has ever been. And now, I don't know, I know from some friends of mine that love wrestling as much as I do, we're all bored with Sami Zayn. And even the title run does not fix that. We're still bored with the guy. Not saying he's not a talent, not saying that anything else along his lines about his character or anything. He's worn out his welcome. He should find something else for him to do. Put him in a tag team. Let him go down to NXT. Do something different, because I'm sorry, the shine has worn off of Sami Zayn. And so this should have been done a while ago. As for putting it on Punk, I will say that I'm looking forward to a Punk Cody Rhodes match at SummerSlam. I am looking forward to that. So at least it piqued my interest in that match. But overall, too little, too late. Sorry, Sammy.
The thing I will ask you this, because again, I agree with you 100%. I was like you, advocating for Sami Zayn to have won at that period of time. I also was big on LA Knight winning it at the height of his popularity as well. Just these are things you try, because you can always go back to Roman Reigns. You can always go back to a CM Punk. You can always go back to these bread and butter guys, because they're your bread and butter guys. But, you know, try to go ahead and hop on the hysteria of Sami Zayn when he was super white hot as far as a baby face is concerned, heading into that matchup against Roman Reigns, or LA Knight when he was at his hottest 2 years ago, and we were thinking that he was, you know, just this lightning rod of excitement that a lot of people were getting so interested in, and you ride that. But now you can't, you know, flash forward years later and Sami Zayn easily becomes now a non-factor shortly after he wins the title. So with that, and because of that, it's disappointing, because you see Sami Zayn just go right back down the ladder to where he is, you know, where he was when he won the title. With LA Knight, you see him doing jobs left and right, and they're trying very hard to beat him up and you know, lose the respect of the fans.
What are they doing with him? This is the rant that I have. Is I have you telling me that Royce Keyes, Solo Sikoa, and LA Knight is going to put on an awesome match against the Fatu and the Usos? First of all, what is going on with the bloodline? Like, that has been a jumbled mess for weeks now, where no one knows who's on what side. What, I'll help you do this, you help me do that. It's a giant clown show that nobody understands what's happening. And LA Knight and Royce Keyes are stuck in the middle of it. Explain it to me.
It's a shame. I mean, again, the in my opinion, as far as the bloodline, has been played out long ago, and it just has no interest for me on that. But, you know, it's something that they still want. It just seems like it's their easy go-to piece as far as, okay, well, we have the bloodline. We always have the bloodline. We go back to, and that seems to be the theme from SummerSlam, is with SummerSlam, there's a lot of familiarity, and that, you know, okay, we know what we've got in CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. We'll just go with that. Oh, we know what we've got with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. We'll just go with that. And to me, that's very unimaginative. I know you said you're excited for Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. I wish I was. I wish I was. I'm just not. I'm just, again, to see them just rotating, just it's like, okay, they're, you know, you're still in the same way. You're not changing. I mean, we're from where are we from what WrestleMania? We're still right back where we started from as far as WrestleMania is concerned. CM Punk and Cody Rhodes are still at the top. We're still at the top in WrestleMania. But again, with what we're seeing with the ticket sales and the fans, now the prices as of this recording are falling down to $25. Doesn't seem like they're excited for it. Doesn't seem like they're excited for a CM Punk Cody Rhodes matchup. It doesn't seem like they're excited for a Roman Reigns Seth Rollins match again. It just does not seem like there's excitement for it. And to me, I think that's part of the problem. I think that's part of the unimaginative booking that Triple H is currently processing through. And I'm just very bored by it when it comes right down to it. And why do I want to sit myself and subject myself now, a guy that actually went live to WrestleMania months later, why do I want to subject myself to another show where I know where it's just months from now, it's just going to be the same regurgitation of the same names in just a little bit different fashion.
You mean you're not excited to see Nick Aldis versus Gunther?
That one don't even get me started on. What's the point? I don't know. I don't see your point. I don't see your point. If you're just giving Gunther something to do, give it to against a regular working individual. If you want Nick Aldis back in the ring, have him against Adam Pearce, because those two have created a natural rivalry with each other. It just seems like you really have nothing to do for Gunther, and you just want to go ahead and feed him someone. And you know, Nick Aldis getting back in the ring for the first time in years, you want it to be better for him. You want it to be his moment in the WWE spotlight for once that would give him some shine. And instead, you're just feeding him up to someone to go ahead and get powerbombed, sleeper, he's out. And in 6 minutes or less. And it just seems like you're setting everything up for failure. It's so... You know, I don't want to use the cornet. Well, I guess I'll use the cornet term. Lazy booking. It just seems like it's lazy, unimaginative, lazy booking. And man, the summer months, I tell you, when it goes, the creative well runs dry often after WrestleMania. And my God, I am going to that well right now, John, for both AEW and WWE. And all I'm bringing up for the well is dirt.
And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, look, I'm trying to say, much like I did for AEW, I'm trying to say something positive. And I guess the only thing I can say is at least they haven't screwed up Danhausen yet.
Yet. You know what? I would have done something different. I would have actually gone outside the box and have Danhausen compete for the world title.
I thought you were going to say Danhausen versus Gunther, and I'm like,
what about Danhausen versus I don't know, Roman Reigns or something like that. You know, and again, you would have a screwy finish. Unless you really want to make Danhausen your world champion, but why not see how that draws? He's one of your biggest merch sellers right now. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, he still got the momentum. They might as well.
See, that's the thing. You ride the momentum until it gets you no farther. And with me and Danhausen, okay, you can either have him on the middle of the card like you do now, facing the Kit Wilsons and JD McDonoughs of the world, or you could just go ahead and say, you know what, out of the blue, you say he qualifies for a shot at the title, and you know, see how far it goes. See if people are excited. See if it gets interest from the outside world. You know, he was the one with the New York Knicks run that made a lot of the headlines for the WWE. To see how far it goes.
Hey, I'd be worth a shot, you know, let him have that moment, you know, where you could do something wacky with it. He could go to curse somebody and it gets reversed and he gets cursed. And his curse is he's got to face Roman Reigns because Roman's so much bigger, and then you have the
the Miz come out and do a screw job on Danhausen, so it reignites that feud going forward. That, you know, Danhausen lost his chance at the world title because of the Miz. I don't know, just something like that.
It's not hard. It's really not hard to book pro wrestling, folks. It really isn't.
No, at least book it well. But
that's true.
Yeah. So again, you know, with what we're seeing at SummerSlam, and let's bring it to SummerSlam here at the end of this month as we record this. It is CM Punk versus Cody Rhodes. You said you were interested in this. Why are you interested in this? Because again, these are just, you know, the same familiar faces in just slightly different places.
They are the same exact faces. You are correct on that. I'm not denying that. I just think that they are going to really turn up the volume, so to speak. They're really going to kick it into fourth gear, whatever analogy you want. I think these two are going to pull out all the stops and really try to have the best match on their respective night, whether that is night one or night two.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to that.
Who do you think wins?
I think Cody Rhodes is gonna win. I think he's getting the belt back. I think CM Punk's had his run with it, and plus, let's be honest, Punk is getting up there in age.
Well, none of these guys. Okay, all four of these guys are in their 40s in the main event. Let's be serious here. All four of these guys are in their 40s. All right, so.
Yeah, Nick Aldis is like the youngest in a match for SummerSlam. I think I read somewhere something like that. Like, he's the youngest.
Yeah, it's crazy. So again, I'm going to go ahead with CM Punk. I think it's a 50-50 book. In fact, that's the only thing about this matchup that I like, is the fact that you can't predict it with 100% confidence. I like the fact that it looks like it's going to be something where both guys are going to try and get some shine coming out of it. But I'm going to say CM Punk keeps the belt. I think they're going to try and see if he can make a run with the SmackDown belt and see if he can make something out of it. So we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cody Rhodes wins either, which again makes it for what we seem to be a very close matchup. And one of the more interesting, hard to predict matchups in quite some time, which I'll give you, John, which makes it slightly more interesting than the average, you know, what we've seen main event in quite some time. So, well, you know, I'll give you that. I'll give you the little bit of a rock eyebrow on the interest scale on that one for you on that one. But the other main event, whichever night they put it on, is not going to get me any more interested, and that is Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, the Shield, one more time. John Moxley should be flying in somewhere just as far as the support on this one, or maybe he should be the special referee, because John, this is just really has zero interest. And you know, when you talk about the light sales for tickets, for what we're seeing right now as far as the problem selling tickets for SummerSlam in Minneapolis for both these nights, that to me is part of the problem. When I talk about unimaginative booking, this is clearly unimaginative booking. I mean, LA Knight could easily have been put in this spot. Obafemi could have been easily put in this spot. That would have generated enthusiasm. That would have generated excitement. But instead, what we have is Seth Rollins, or Bron Breakker could have been in this spot.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, what we have is Seth Rollins with everybody singing the song. And then as soon as the song stops, just like in WrestleMania, no one cares.
I think right now the only way to get me interested in this match is if Jon Moxley shows up as Dean Ambrose. I think that's the only way I'm going to have any interest, because agreed. 1,000% with you, Gerald. We've seen this 8 million times. It is ridiculous. You can't come up with anything else. And I'm sorry, for a company that is known for their video production, right? Like, we hear about it. The best VTRs, the best backstage interviews, the best everything that they film. This, like, multi-vignette history of the Shield has been absolute crap. It has been the worst WWE produced product I think I've seen in a long time. It too has not interested me or stoked my interest, excuse me, in this match whatsoever.
And that's part of the problem. That's why you're not selling seats. So if you can only look at yourself when you're not selling tickets, if that's the case, as far as how you're booking this SummerSlam. So again, it's Roman Reigns. I think he's going to come out on top. I don't see anything happening. They just, you know, absolutely how this company over the course of the years have just been so infatuated with him. I guess he sells enough merch. I guess he gets, you know, everybody loves pointing up at the sky and whatnot, doing their best. You know, Sabu did it better, pointing up at the sky, as far as that's concerned, in my opinion. But be that as it may, if you're a Roman Reigns fan, I don't think you've got anything to worry about coming out of SummerSlam, John.
And I agree with you. I think Roman Reigns retains, and Seth Rollins goes off to another feud, which, you know, again, if you want to create interest, maybe you could get that feud, you know, somebody interferes, cost Seth the match. It's an easy way to start a new feud, but I don't know. I apparently don't know what I'm talking about because nobody listens to my ideas or your ideas.
No, no. We're just two wrestling fans from the couch exposing everything out there for the industry right here on a monthly basis on the State of Pro Wrestling with John Orlando for the PVD cast. And of course, Matt Talk along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching and listening with the Pop Culture Cosmos. Cannot thank you enough for stopping by. Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. Now, when Triple H made that statement about Obafemi being the greatest thing since sliced bread, he's, you know, the future is going to be great. I wish he would just stop that. You know, talking about this earlier this week, he said about Liv Morgan, one of the greatest female wrestlers of all time, you know, heading in that direction. She could be. Let her do it. Just stop with the vernacular, you know, between her and Obafemi. Just let them become at that level instead of you trying to force it or make it happen. So with that said, if you really have that much confidence in John, again, I said this on the last State of Pro Wrestling, what you do is on Saturday, you have him beat Brock Lesnar in the cage, as far as is concerned, in the Hell in the Cell on Saturday. And then on Sunday, you would have had him beat whoever champion for the title. If you really think he's the cornerstone of your future, if you really think he is the guy that's going to set you up long-term, this could have been a defining moment for him. Now he's just going to go ahead. He's going in Hell in Cell. It'll probably be a good 6-7 minute match as far as hard hitting between him and Brock Lesnar. Will it be the final match for Brock Lesnar when it comes out of it, John?
Well, okay. Number one, I think that you are spot on with your idea, your booking idea. I mean, if Obafemi wins the cage the next night, he's banged up beyond belief, and he wins whatever, and he may not even have to win the world title, just win an intercontinental title or a U.S. title, and there you go. That would skyrocket him. My whole thing, this whole storyline has been also bleh for me. I did not like the idea that Lesnar retired, but then didn't really retire and came back for yet another match. And then, like, it ruined all the momentum that Obafemi had from his get-go with match number one with Lesnar. I don't see it. I don't see that we needed to have this match. Certainly not in a Hell in a Cell. But we are. That's what we're doing. And so best of luck to Obafemi that he gets in there and gets out without any injuries. Just because he's a young guy, I think Brock Lesnar should probably know his way around a steel cage. But yeah, this match, Obafemi goes over. I can't answer your question as to whether Lesnar retires for yet another time.
We live in the world of Terry Funk, my friend. So how many retirements does it really matter? Only Dave Bautista says he's not going to do a Terry Funk because he said that earlier in a interview this week. So as far as explaining that, he's not coming back under any circumstances. And I could see that with him because he's lost a lot of weight. He is no longer the jacked up individual that he once was. I'm happy for him. His acting career has taken a great turn. Yep. And you know, I'm definitely happy for Batista indeed.
That's what I meant when I said good. I meant that he's comfortable with his. That's the thing I think I dislike the most about wrestling is when people leave and they don't leave John Cena. And I don't know. I just feel like if you're gonna ride off in the sunset, that should be it. You shouldn't come back. But that's just my opinion.
So with that said, my friend, the rest of the card has Liv Morgan versus Io Sky. I really think, you know, the fact it's, I think this is her, I don't know if this is her first, I was talking to my daughter, who's a Liv Morgan super fan. One of my daughters is a Liv Morgan super fan. I think there might've been some house shows that she, you know, defended the title on. But since she won the title, I think this could be her first televised.
Mm-hmm.
World title defense, which months in is just absolutely amazing to say, but okay, whatever. With that said, though, with Liv Morgan, Io Sky, I think it's going to be a very good match, a very interesting match to see. But I just don't see them taking the belt off Liv Morgan right now, especially after what Triple H said in recent days about Liv Morgan. And why would you want to slow down that momentum, especially the fact that she hasn't defended the title on any type of format for television right now. So again, this is her first defense on television, and I don't expect her to lose.
I just think that she is going to win because there's going to be some shenanigans. You know, there's going to be some interference from somebody, whether it's Roxanne Perez or Raquel or another member of the Judgment Day. I think that certainly is going to lead to Io Sky not getting the victory and Liv Morgan continuing on as champ. And then, yeah, like you said, she should certainly start having to defend it here more frequently, because I agree with you. I can't tell you the last time I saw her defend the title since this title run has started.
She hasn't on television. So that's the thing. So I think she wins from there. Also as well, Penta versus Chad Gable. Chad Gable came out like a house of fire after the El Grande Americano versus El Grande Americano match. And then they've really kind of booked him on an apology tour and really put him, instead of taking that momentum that was built by from his incredible performance in that match, John. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say this, Dave, you know, stop me if you've heard this before, ruined it entirely, but they've slotted him in the same exact slot than what he was at the time he got injured and left and, you know, did all the El Grande Americano stuff. So again, he's right back where he started. So it's really, all that great work that he did in AAA, all that great work that he did, against Ludwig Kaiser, it was seemingly for naught, because again, coming out of it, he just really doesn't have that much momentum. I still think he does beat Penta. I still think he does beat Penta because they want to justify the momentum that he had. But I just really thought they could have done more with it coming out of the El Grande Americano match.
Do you think they put it on him because it's also his hometown of Minneapolis?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's the major catch for me, that I think that definitely Chad Gable's winning. As for the momentum, I'm going to disagree with you. I think the momentum's been okay. It hasn't been red hot, but it hasn't been terrible. I think it's been okay. But
he came off super hot off that great performance in AAA.
Well, but you do make me think there for a moment though about where he's been slotted and how he's not moved anywhere. He's not moved up the ladder anymore. You do make a valid point on that. I just don't know if the momentum was as good as it could have been or should have been. But I feel like it was right in the middle.
Did you feel that match was a match of the year? El Grande Americano versus Grande Americano?
Oh yeah. I thought that was very good.
Well, then how do you say he doesn't have the momentum leading off of that match? Ooh. Both guys do.
Good point. Good point. You got me. You got me.
But the Ludwig Kaiser has kept it as El Grande Americano. Now he's feuding. Why is Dominic Mysterio face now? That stop, please. you know, just no against Pierros del Mar. You know, that's bad. You know, as far as booking for keep Mysterio, if he's a heel in the States, keep him a heel in Mexico right now. It just makes no sense to me what they're doing right there in AAA either. But again, right now they don't really have to make as much sense because El Grande Americano is so lightning hot right now as a face that they really, I don't know if they can do no wrong yet. I'm not going to say they can do no wrong because they can do wrong, but they're still able to go ahead and generate so much, you know, enthusiasm with El Grande Americano. But yeah, why make Mysterio face? It doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah, I didn't like it when Lawler did it when he was a heel in Dallas and he was a face in Memphis. Like, I thought that was dumb. I didn't like that. So I'm right along the same lines with
good
you.
Good comparison. I don't think that. Very good comparison. Absolutely. That one's on the way back. I like that. That was a very good comparison indeed. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But again, Chad Gable, I do think is going to get it. And then right now also as well, the Bloodline versus LA Knight, Royce Keyes and Solo Sikoa. That might be an opening match. The women's champion at what is it? Interim women's champion. Okay.
I knew you were going to rant about this. I knew it. I know you.
Hate interim. Yeah, I hate interim champions. Okay, this is a TKO thing. I can tell you right now because WWE, I don't think has ever done this, or if they've done it, they may have done it once. They don't need an interim champion. Don't need it. Don't have any desire or use in any of these organizations to have an interim champion. Just do it like they did in the old days. If a wrestler's injured, gonna be out for months, have them drop the title, and when they get better, they'll wrestle for the title at that time. Doesn't seem like it's rocket science, John, but interim champion, you know, this is garbage, man. This is absolute garbage.
Or in the old days, if you have an injury, you do a tournament or a battle royal or something. Not just
now it's going to be it's going to be a women's ladder match. So there you go.
There's still somebody that they haven't filled, right? Because it's Charlotte, Nia, Jade, Tiffany, and then isn't there?
I think there's a fifth one. There's a
fifth one that they have to get in there that they haven't announced yet.
Good luck on that one. As far as it's concerned, that Gunther versus Nick Aldis. Maybe they'll slip Sami Zayn in there. So we'll see if that happens. But yeah, I certainly hope it's not going to be that. You're not. Why are you trying to sell a SummerSlam match to a football stadium sized crowd with Nick Aldis coming back? That's not fair to him, and that's not fair to the crowd. It seems like it's just very poor. Foreshadowing on this as far as absolutely not being able to see the forest from the trees. And last but not least, Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes versus Baron Corbin. The most boring wrestler on the planet is back in WWE. Boring. Baron Boring is what I call him. Man. I don't know. And it takes away from Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes are going to be busting their butt for this, as you know, going back and forth in a great display of wrestling. And then they have to work with Baron Corbin. Why is he getting a title shot in the first place coming back? I don't get it.
Okay. What if he's better? What if he's been gone, Jeff, all this time, and he's sharpened his skills. He's done the work, et cetera, et cetera. What if he is really, really good now?
You see this face? That tells you all you need to know. I mean, fans of MLW will tell you all you need to know, and that's it at this point.
Okay. Okay.
On that. And then I don't know what they're doing at Liar Valkyria. Again, still doesn't interest me what she's doing. Bailey, her situation with the contract has not yet been determined. I think she's leaving personally, with her best friend, Mercedes Moné, already putting up marquee matchup signs on her social media. You know, that tells you all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, But again, need I digress. But much needed win for Lara Valkyria. We'll see where it goes there as far as making her into some kind of, disheveled clothes, with Nikki Cross, the way Nikki Cross used to dress and used to be, the character that, crazy type of format. So I guess instead of, keeping the veteran Nikki Cross in there, I guess it was just, okay, lay off Nikki Cross and let's just bring in Lyra Valkyria to do that gimmick instead. So, okay, whatever. I guess it beats the wings that she had as far as it's concerned. Yeah, that was something. I think that was a desperate point in time indeed. But John, I am not, as you can tell, overly thrilled with the SummerSlam card. Are you? Before we go ahead and hit a couple quick subjects before we head on out.
No, I'm not very enthusiastic about SummerSlam because, as we've said, like, it's a lot of repeat matches that we've already seen, and it just doesn't incite me to want to watch the show.
You got me on the CM Punk Cody Rhodes thing. That gives me a little bit of a pulse. I kind of go ahead and lean with you on that one. I think they'll try to do what they can to keep both strong going forward. But we'll see what happens there. But I agree with you. So if you have thoughts out there on SummerSlam, you have thoughts out there on AEW, not Revolution, Redemption, Beach Blast, the AEW Beach Blast, where Kenny Omega's won the title. Do you have thoughts on Kenny Omega and CM Punk winning the titles that they did this month? Please let me know your thoughts right there at the PVD Cast and, of course, Pop Culture Cosmos. Indeed. But two quick things, actually three quick things before we head on out. AJ Styles commented on WWE in Japan on his podcast recently about WWE investing into a company like AAA, like they did AAA. In Mexico. I didn't think it was a bad comment, because he has such a familiar over there, but man, it really ticked off some people. AEW's buying New Japan, or AEW's WWE's buying New Japan, or it wasn't meant to be like that. It would probably be a smaller company or whatnot, but again, it's just something that he thought he would like to see, because WWE has never really made great forays into the Japanese market, and the Japanese market could use some type of infusion of excitement right now, because it's not at its highest point it's ever been.
Yeah, this is a whole lot of nothing. This is the old saying of making a mountain out of a molehill. He didn't say anything specifically about any companies. He wasn't derogatory towards anybody or any company. It's people on the internet that have nothing better to do. They just want to, stir up the pot, and it's total rubbish. Total rubbish.
Also wanted to mention as well, Janelle Grant case. That's probably the best. This has not been the beacon of light of shows that we've done as far as excitement is concerned, but probably the worst news of it all as far as to go down is the Janelle Grant case is being moved to private arbitration. That depressed me a lot, John, because I really wanted to go ahead and have this on court TV and just settle in to see who they call up at the witness stand and what is being told. I wanted to hear all the juicy secrets, and I was just already, John, I thought Janelle was going to get her just day as far as it's concerned, based off the allegations, of course. And she was going to be able to get a chance to spell out all out and put it all out there on Vince McMahon. We're going to find out exactly how freaky deaky Vince McMahon, Vinnie Mac, is actually in real life. Not too far from what he was in the 90s, trying to relive those 90s. But unfortunately, that's not the case. It bummed me out, John.
Well, here's my question. How do you, I guess I've never been in court, so I plead the fifth on knowing anything about how the court system works. But how is it that, you can go to arbitration? I'm just thinking, Janelle Grant, why would she want to go to arbitration? If Vince's attorneys are going, we want to go to arbitration, why does Janelle Grant's lawyers go, yeah, let's do that? Because to me, that seems not like a win-win. Is there not enough leverage?
There's either not enough leverage, or the fact is maybe she might be able to get a settlement more likely. I don't know. Maybe it's, obviously it takes two sides to agree on private arbitration. But maybe it's the fact that also she does not want to go ahead and say more out there than what has been said already. Maybe she is tired, because like she stated in recent statement, she has only been outside a handful number, less than a handful, a number of times, you know, out, you know, since this has been out there. So again, she needs to live her life, and I respect her on that. And I wish her a happy life after this can get all eradicated. And I wish her to be the ability to move on, but I don't know if she ever will. That's the part of the problem.
Hmm. Well, again, the wheels of justice move slow. And to be honest with you, I'm not super surprised that it got moved to arbitration, because I figured there was some sneaky thing that Vince had. You know, he's got some really good attorneys.
Just sad. I wanted to hear all the juicy details, but okay. All right. Just going to have to go ahead and deal without it. But again, we'll see what happens with Vinnie Mac. And no, at 80 years old plus, guys, he's not coming back. I don't think. Yeah, forget that. But before we head on out, Andreas Hale, who was the writer for main writer for ESPN on their mixed martial arts and pro wrestling, was part of the cuts this past week for Disney and ESPN. And he is most famously remembered as the individual who started giving grades to WWE matches, I guess, as soon as the WWE deal with ESPN was made. And I think everybody at WWE and ESPN was kind of ticked off when he gave Saturday Night's Main Event on that first night, or whatever, no, WrestlePalooza, I think it was, as a C. Your thoughts, my friend, Andreas Hale, who also wasn't given a press pass for WrestleMania, not coincidentally enough, my friend. And so with that said, I'm not too surprised Andreas Hale, because he spoke the truth, ultimately paid the price.
Hey, that's what I wrote down in my notes. Can we not have an opinion anymore?
Like, I guess not.
I mean, if you're and also, are your feelings really that hurt? Triple I guess H, so. I mean, come on now. You're a big, strong dude, man. This should be. I don't get it, but I'm not surprised either. I mean, again, as Mr. Hale wrote the truth, spoke the truth. Sometimes those have repercussions that are not fair, that are unjust. And hopefully Mr. Hale can find another job covering sports, I suppose, since that's who he's worked for in the past. I wish him all the luck. But again, coincidence of not having that WrestleMania pass, I think that's not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence at all. But I do wish him the best. Again, Andreas Hale, wishing you all the best and future success to you in the industry covering whatever you want to go ahead and cover, indeed. So, John, it's been great having you back on another full hour of the State of Pro Wrestling. Any last thoughts before we head on out?
No, I think, we got some big events coming up in the next few weeks. Definitely check them out. And, you know, hopefully there's something there that maybe both of these cards aren't going to have five-star matches throughout the entire card. But maybe there'll be a five-star match here or there that at least you can say, hey, I enjoyed that match and it was pretty darn good. And the other four or five or 17, depending on your count for AEW, were. So just enjoy wrestling. There you go.
Next month, we'll be back previewing All In, and then also as well what the counter programming will be for WWE. Which they've already told you that they're going to do. So that'll be interesting. The fight never ends between AEW and WWE, and we've got you covered right here for it, of the State of Pro Wrestling, indeed. So for John Orlando from the PVD cast and this, also Matt Talk, it is me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watch the Pop Culture Cosmos, State of Pro Wrestling, of course, Matt Talk, and of course the PVD cast each and every time they come out. And we'll be back this time next month for the State of Pro Wrestling. John Orlando, Gerald Glassford saying goodbye for now, but we'll be back to go ahead for more. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Gerald Glassford, talking about the state of pro wrestling and talking about all the news from the WWE and AEW and all the other places in between. And thank you very much for checking out the episode. And if you want to let me know how you feel about a particular topic or insight that we gave on this episode, well, you can get a hold of me a couple different ways. First, you can shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And yes, I'm still on Twitter under the handle of PVDMVP. So there you go. Let me know what you thought about the show. And maybe, additionally, you want to let some folks know about the show and where they can hear it. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while you are using that outlet or app to find the PVDcast, go ahead, when you do find it, rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And you know what? You might as well, while you're there, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. Well, the last way that you can hear the show is every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a live broadcast of the week's episode through the Facebook page. So there you go. Three very easy ways to hear the show. First, PVDcast.com. Second, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. And third, through the live broadcast on Wednesday nights through the Facebook page at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.